Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Blue Jackets wrapped up their three-game road trip last night. They did it in Carolina and fell to the Hurricanes. 4-1 was the final score in the game. The Blue Jackets were away for three games. They got just 1 point out of those three games, and that was in the overtime loss on Saturday to the Florida Panthers. They were shut out in Washington on Sunday, scored just one goal in the loss last night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Jody Shelley, you were there for the Saturday game. Last night was an ESPN Plus game, so you were elsewhere and didn't see that one live. But, you know, it's kind of funny because you put up six in that game against Florida, and you put up six against Sergei Bobrovsky, of all goaltenders, and then all of a sudden you're back to scoring being an issue, having a scoring drought, if you will, in the next two games. And I guess you have to kind of credit the same reason, the goaltending. Sergei probably didn't have his best day, and Logan Thompson certainly did on Sunday. And last night, the same was true in Carolina.
Yeah, you know, but there is a model that's still true and will always be true in the regular season of the National Hockey League, and probably the playoffs too, and that's finding ways to win hockey games. Not finding ways to lose, you know, and I think that it's a 20-man roster, and you need, you know, at some nights all 20 to get victories in the National Hockey League, and you need your best players to carry the weight, but you also need other players to be able to carry momentum, steal momentum, draw penalties. You know, there's it's not a great feeling right now around the team, but when you look at the standings, they're not in bad shape at all. And that's kind of the silver lining here is I still believe, and watching their efforts, that they understand how the Blue Jackets have to play to a man and win hockey games. Still missing some key pieces. I feel like we say this every week. But leadership in that locker room in tense moments. And, you know, Olivier's very vocal. Boone Jenner is a emotional and physical leader and leads in all examples in that on the ice. And they miss Gudbranson right now. That's a big body. You know, that's a big body with a long stick that takes up a lot of space in the defensive zone. And you put those three things together, you have guys now playing in different situations. So, you know, I like some consistency with the lines. I like what they're doing from, you know, with Jet Greaves' effort and the defenseman, and but you know, when you lose, everything is bad. So hopefully this week at home, get things straightened out, get some wins, and then hit the road, because there is an element to this team that I hear from every team that plays against them. They love the way they play. Every coach that prepares for the Columbus Blue Jackets, they're fast, they're hard, they'll keep coming. They've got stars, and that's really what this team has. You know, Werenski, Marchenko, Fantilli, Johnson, Sillinger, they're all doing well, but they can all do better, and I think that they all know that.
Yeah, Adam Fantilli was very honest about that after the game last night when he said, we need to shoot the puck more, and he put himself front and center on that. He said, and that's me. I'm mad at myself. I needed to shoot the puck more in the game. And I talked with Dean Evason afterwards and asked about that. Look, there were a couple of passes that were made down low. Now, there was one that Chinnikov opted out of, a shot he opted out of, and made a pass. And I thought, well, that's, man, with the shot that you have, you know, take that shot. But there was another
one. He shouldn't be allowed to pass.
Yeah, okay.
That's in my opinion.
That's fair. That's very, very, very fair. Because even if he gets that rocket shot off, the wrist shot, and it hits the pad, so many times we've had the pass off the pad conversation, right?
Well, it's, you know, it's so tight in front of every single net. You can watch any game. Five guys are inside the hash marks and down below that area on the blue paint. And when you can get a scramble in there and create some chaos, then you've got something going on. But teams don't allow it. Goaltenders either kill the play or they're there to get it out. So, you know, there's other attack mentalities, other ways to do it. But I like shooting from every angle. You know, you shoot from the goal line, you shoot from the blue line. Anywhere you got the puck, you shoot from the wall. You don't let them get set up. If you have that mentality, if I know you're shooting the puck, I'm going to the net, right? And if it's just like a little bit of an advantage they can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe you catch that goaltender out of position when you're taking it from that bad angle too, right? And you get down along the goal line. Carolina did that once last night. Jet was ready for it. But yeah, when the shot came, the first thing I was thinking was, yeah, why wouldn't you shoot that puck there? I mean, you're either taking it to the wall and doing absolutely nothing with it, or you're flinging it back toward the net, and maybe you get some kind of a bounce and a teammate finds it. But there was a Chinnikov thing. That was one. There was another one. I think it was Provorov that was coming in on the left side, and Charlie Coyle was open in front of the net. And Provorov made the pass, and Charlie was just trying to angle it, and the stick was at the wrong angle, and it just went wide. And that was one that if it goes in, now you're up. Now you've got your second goal. Both your goals are similar because it's in the crease and it's a tip in and this and that and all that. But it didn't happen. And that's when I think that they might have started to think, hey, that's available. We can get a little bit cute. But cute just didn't do it. And on most nights, don't you agree, cute doesn't do it?
Yeah, I mean, some nights it works. You get bounces on plays and, and that's really what you work for. You play your system to get the crack against the opposition, and then you take advantage of that crack. And cute, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the skill to make plays, but you look how everyone plays in the D zone, it's like a penalty kill. It's like a 6-on-5 penalty kill with the goalie down there. And that's how teams play. They take away the middle of the ice, they let you have the outside, and once you take your time and get set up on the outside and you're looking for a pass or a cross ice, it just doesn't open up. It doesn't open up. So off the rush, Blue Jackets have been good off the rush last year and parts of this year. And then, just flinging pucks before they get set up. Catch them off guard. That's what I think teams do. But listen, everybody's in the same boat right now in the Eastern Conference as far as how games are played. I even did a game in the West last night when Nashville beat Colorado in a shootout. That's the best team in the league. Colorado's had two regulation losses. They lost in a shootout last night. They tied it late in the game. There was no room for Colorado and Nathan McKinnon to get going at all because it was just strictly defensive hockey. And when Nashville did score, they jammed pucks to the net from the goal line. And most important part of the ice right now offensively, I think, is winning the goal line and behind the net, because that's where you can pull everyone down and kind of change up the look.
Let me ask you about there are some arguments that I've seen where It is said sometimes that there's a feeling that the Blue Jackets allow the other team to establish what kind of a game is going to be played, whether it's going to be a wide open and a high flying game, whether it's going to be a tight checking game, and then they adjust to that. You talked earlier about the style of game they want to play and how coaches say that they are tough to prepare for. Do you feel that they're letting other teams dictate how it's going to be played at the beginning?
No, I can't say that. I think every game is so different. You just kind of, sometimes the calls are made early. Sometimes the goaltender makes the saves. I don't sense that. I've seen games where they start really, really well. But I think the blueprint for this team, is the way they played in New Jersey just over a week ago, and the way they, stuck together as a team. Guys played harder and better than they probably are expected to play, giving that little bit of extra to get the victory and getting out of their comfort zone, is a good way to put it. But I don't feel that way. No, I don't feel like they let other teams dictate how they play. I think they've seen enough games with this team this year that, I thought the dialogue was they were losing games, blowing the lead. I mean, that tells me, there's some, there's obviously going to be a push from the opposition, and, the other team might get bounces, but there's every team has a certain way they play, especially when they're down. And for some reason, the Blue Jackets can't lock in that mentality just to lock the game down and put it away. That's what we've seen a few times this season.
Well, here's another thing for you, because look, you don't have to look far on social media. And I'm not saying that that's where all of the smart people are hanging out by any means, but I know that there's a level of frustration when afterwards, the coaches and the players are saying things like, we liked our game, we played the right way. And look, the Florida game, set that one aside, because that's a bit of a wild card thing there to have 13 goals in a game. But look at those last two. The Washington game, they did play well, and they did play their game. They just didn't score against Logan Thompson. And I thought last night, when you look at the final of 4-1, it's 1-1 in the second period. they eventually get to a 2-1 lead. But the third goal is a power play goal where Jordan Staal standing in front of Jet Greaves and screening him, which Jordan Staal has done for about, I don't know, what's he done for 15 years now? I mean, he knows exactly how to be there and what to do. And then an empty net one, so it makes it look like a little bit worse than it actually was. But the game is there. The result's not there, but the game is there. Don't you agree?
I think the goaltending is there. You know, I think that, yeah, that is coach talk. And, you know, people like us that follow the team closely, yes, they play winning hockey. There is but it's results hockey that they need now. So, you know, some coaches would say, stay with the process. Stay with how we play. We will win more games than we lose if we stick with this process, right? It's an 82 game season. And when you establish that kind of baseline of how to play, then you stick with it. You will be a handful and end up on the right side of most games. Now, it's a 60-minute game. That's the other thing. You see teams that are kind of below 500. Yeah, they played a good game for 52 minutes. That's not long enough. You know what I mean? It's got to be the full. It's got to be every shift. That's the urgency right now. And it always has been in the National Hockey League of some teams can play 60, 65 minutes and say, yeah, we played well every, you know, not every shift, but for more than 52 minutes of this game. You can get away with, you know, maybe 58, I guess, but it's just those segments in the game. It takes how long to score a goal? So it's those little moments in games that there's got to be a little more, I think veteran savvy might be a way to put it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about me getting a point. It's not about, like, I look at, Toronto. They're playing really good hockey now. Defensive hockey. William Nylander hasn't had a point in four games before last night. I don't know if they played last night, but they're winning. Okay. So it's not important for, I mean, it is important for him and the stats and all that, but the fan base is now seeing like, okay, this is good. You know, this is the type of hockey, winning hockey, what it looks like. Defensive, goaltending, everything, penalty kill. Their power play isn't great. Colorado's power play isn't great, but there's always something to work out. My whole point here in this long-winded answer is, yes, you have everyone at every night says, yeah, we're playing well. We're just not getting the bounces, but the better teams rise above that in these situations. And maybe it's a homestand. Maybe it's a road trip. Whatever it is, find it and make sure you put games away when you have chances. I think that's really the lesson here in this first part of the season.
Yeah, and it is a lesson that, look, the Blue Jackets aren't the only team that is learning the lesson, but we're seeing them learn it or try to learn it over and over again. But, yeah.
And, Bob, every team prepares – I mean, you wouldn't believe the preparation that goes in every night by the coaches to adjust and play against Zach Werenski, Kirill Marchenko, now Adam Fantilli busting out of the gate. There's a game plan against these people. Goaltenders are aware of where they shoot, how they play, what they want to do, what they're trying to do. So, you know, there's adjustments that need to be made within the games, too, to kind of free those guys up and let those guys have space and get them to put them in spots to use their ability the best they can.
Yeah, right. And on the flip side of that, too, the goaltending, right? I mean, Jet Greaves was an unknown commodity that there was very little video on. Now there's a lot. And now everybody knows how well he catches a puck on the glove side. And everybody's made adjustments and tried to do other things. And to your point, that's the job. That's the job of every coach in the National Hockey League to expose it.
Exactly. And the preparation by the players, you know. Where are the goalies weak? Where are the goal? If he gives up rebounds, how the gap is against this team? Do we dump it in? Do we carry it in? You know, try to run set plays. You know, it's a defensive first minded league with a tremendous amount of youth and skill and speed and strategy. And so every night you want to have your team go out and have a victory. Right now, the important part for this team is they know how they have to play and they have to stay confident and get healthy. And then, you know, churn some points out and get to a bigger 500, whatever, 10 games over 500, 12 games over 500. Get to that echelon, and that's what the regular season is for here. We're just over a third of the way through. So, you know, it's time to build a little bit here as you get to Christmas and then the Olympic break.
Yeah, you're right. There, it is it is quote unquote early, but it's also time, right? It's time to start to turn it on and put all of that together. We'll be back and talk more about this and about a lot of things going on in the National Hockey League. We're going to talk a lot of NHL this week here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Cool. Which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Bishop and Friends.
And I don't know exactly what it's like for a human being to see an actual ghost, but I can tell you I know what it looks like now. And all he said to me was, Dad, please.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Windy and turning colder, scattered rain showers to snow showers into your night on this Wednesday. Temperatures holding around 35 degrees, down to the mid-20s by Thursday morning. A couple of flurries and it will be brisk. More clouds, flurries, and a windy finish on Thursday with highs only in the low 30s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Give the gift of hockey this year, Blue Jackets hockey, that is, with a holiday gift pack. It's presented by Homage. You get two tickets to two games of your choice, an exclusive Homage shirt, and it all starts at just $109. Get yours by going to bluejackets.com/holiday. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. We just spent a long time talking about the Blue Jackets and where they are. And, Jody, where they are, and you alluded to this in our first segment, in the league, especially in the East, it is a log jam. It's a traffic jam. I mean, everybody is there. You know, the key is don't go on a long losing streak right now. If you can, you know, stay even or keep your head above water a little bit until you start to catch fire, that's what you're looking to do. And then you can make some moves and you should be able to make them relatively quickly.
Yeah. No, it's, especially the East. I mean, the West, Colorado has already got 49 points, and in the East, I mean, it is still, nobody's out of it. I mean, and you look at how the Rangers started. You look at how some of these started. Rangers didn't have a win at home. I can't even remember how long it was. It was ridiculous.
They were they lost their first seven at home.
Seven, and then they won one, and it was like a stretch of like, it was dismal. But they're in it. Pittsburgh's better. I mean, we talk about this every week as well, and it's the parity of the league. You know, there's only so many number one D, number one center, number one goalies, or number two goalie, you know, teams are dealing with injuries. There's a lot of that going on. The schedule's tight. There's fatigue. So that evens out the playing field. And a lot of these teams in the East play the same and then the exact same situation. Plus the urgency and the, you know, I said this on another show the other day. It was like the Rangers were only 6 points out, you know, that everybody was in it. Except Buffalo, really, in the East. And the Flyers, I guess, the Flyers were in the race, too. Everyone was in it at some point throughout the end of the year last year. So you start this year thinking and understanding that, hey, every shift, every detail, the training camp. So, yeah, I've never seen it. And I think it's going to be one of those years that things might look a little different as the playoffs start and some surprises here because it's going to be like this right till game 82.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it absolutely is. Let's talk a little bit about goalies. You just mentioned about how many number two goalies there are in the league. How about the teams that are rolling with three goalies right now? We just saw one last night with Carolina. For Buffalo, this is really becoming a bone of contention for their fan base, the three-goalie system that they've got going there. Look, we've seen it here before. It can be a difficult thing to do. I think if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, it's not so different because you have a young guy coming in as your quote-unquote third guy who picks up his ninth win last night. He's now 9-1 after getting that win. So, you know, that'll shut the people up about having three goalies there. You have that guy to go to. But, you know, What is this? It's not a trend, I guess, but what about these teams that are kind of caught with three?
I love it. I think it's important. I think it's really important. Of course, now Cleveland is close here. You don't want to lose that goalie, that veteran goalie on waivers. Alex Lyon had to go in last night for the Buffalo Sabres. The third goalie was in the locker room getting his equipment on, ready to come in. Like, when you need him like that, it's awesome. It stinks in practice. They're not getting reps as far as, you know, playing games and getting that development. But I think it's so important to have three NHL goaltenders. You know, the Blue Jackets went out and got Fedotov there from the Philadelphia Flyers. They've got, you know, other goaltenders they trust in here. You see how Jack Greaves has come in, and he's a great development of, he was the third goaltender for the last couple of seasons, right?
Yep.
So for him to develop as a young player, how he has, I don't mind it. I think because if you don't need it, yeah, it's cumbersome. But I think once you do, you're thankful to have it. It's like that third quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a fair comparison. And as you said, it's
unless you want to go get Philip Rivers out of retirement.
Yeah. Hey, what have you been doing for the last 5 years? Not much. You want to come out? Come out, throw some balls.
I loved his press conference. No Zoom calls.
Exactly. But the other thing is, it does stink in practice because every goalie coach will tell you, well, there's only two nets and there's three goalies in it. But when you want your main guy to get a day off, then it's
make
great.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work. Yeah. You know, you talk about fatigue and load management and everyone's going to have injuries. Well, you have one injury. Now you're down to two. Okay. Yep. So, and there's 32 teams in the league, and there's only so many goaltenders and it's such an important part. You look at the Blue Jackets with Jett and how he's come in and locked it down a lot in these big, even last night, Carolina came at him, you know, and was it Bussy who was in the net last night?
Bussy was in the net last night. Yeah.
Bussy was in the net last night. I mean, Blue Jackets were coming. Fantilli had two great chances in that first period on him, and he had to make those tight in close saves.
No, you look at that team to me is interesting in with their goaltending situation. You know, Buffalo, say whatever you want.
It always has been.
Yeah. Yes. And that's really kind of my point. Like Buffalo's got three, but Buffalo hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years. So that's one conversation. Freddie Anderson has gotten the Carolina Hurricanes to the playoffs. He's been great in the regular season. What he hasn't been able to do is get them over the hump in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm looking at this one. And the more they go back to this kid and the more wins that he picks up, does that make a guy like that expendable at any point? Or is that something you just roll with and then you say, you know, we're going to take what we have to the playoffs this year and we're going to figure it out?
I think it gives you the luxury of taking a little heat off Freddie Anderson, because I don't know if you just think about that feeling when playoffs start. It's all you hear. It's all you think about. Right?
Right.
And then you get in there and it goes bad. Well, how do you grab it back? Look at the reigning Vezina Trophy winner out in Winnipeg as the number one goalie in the National Hockey League last year in the regular season. Couldn't win on the road. You know? So I can't imagine how you feel putting the equipment on when you have that narrative. And if you have a guy like Carolina has Bussy, well, geez, you know what? Maybe he wins a couple games and he plays well. And I always go back to that. There's been two times, two Stanley Cup champions they ended up Stanley Cup champions. Washington Capitals started with Holtby on the bench against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then he comes off the bench and takes the team to the Stanley Cup. We'll never forget Marc-Andre Fleury coming out. What was that, game one?
Yeah. First game of the series when Matt Murray gets hurt in warmups.
Matt Murray gets hurt in warmups. Yeah. We're all saying, this is great. Fleury comes in, takes him to the Stanley Cup, wins the Stanley Cup, right?
Right.
That was that year.
Yeah, Murray came back at the end. Murray ended up finishing. But yes, he got them. He kept them alive so that there was that opportunity.
And then Bobrovsky, the first year when they won the Cup, it was Alex Lyon who started the playoffs. And Bobrovsky was not happy on the bench, but he ended up coming in and won his first Stanley Cup. I mean, so you have to have, I think it's important to have one or two guys or you know, I don't think it goes on all year. I think there's going to be an emerging number one, obviously. But it's, and for Buffalo, they've done it out of necessity. They've had injuries. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen didn't even start the season. They picked up Georgiev. Then they got Lyon. You know, they've got, young kid in the American Hockey League now, or maybe he's still around there.
Yeah, Devin Levi, they got him. And then
they
picked up the other guy off waivers. They don't want to put him back on waivers.
Yeah. So, you know, they're going to deal with it until it sorts out. But when you have a start, the first 30 games where you've actually used five goalies because of necessity and health, well, let it breathe a little bit before you sort it out, because at some point you do have to sort it out.
Yeah, you do have to sort it out. Who is Colton Ellis. That's the other guy that Buffalo picked up off waivers.
That's right. Yeah.
And then he's played well enough for them that they know he's going to go back, right? Yeah, they got six guys. Six goaltenders. Across two teams, basically, right? In the National Hockey League.
It'll sort itself out. Yeah, it'll sort itself out.
But I do like your point there with Freddie Anderson getting a break and having a somewhat insurance policy, and instead of, you know, getting to the playoffs and being like, well, here we go again. You know what I mean? If you take some of the load off him during the season, and you're right, maybe by that time he's not even starting the playoffs, but he's that relief guy that you just made several great examples of. It's always with goaltender. I mean, every year everybody says, oh, well, they're not going to win because they're goaltending. Sergei Bobrovsky has never won. He's never been good in the playoffs. Bam, he's got back-to-back Stanley Cups. Go back to the Blackhawks when they won their Cups. They had two different goalies that people said, well, they're not going to win it because of the goalie, and they did. So,
well, I go back even further to Osgood with the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, they had every all-star on their team. And Osgood brought them to the Stanley Cup and several times. So it's such an important part of a championship team, though. I mean, it's like you've seen the hockey. You have to have that confidence in the goaltender to hold it down. And the other one, talking about goaltending, you look at the Edmonton Oilers and Stuart Skinner, and, you know, there was same conversation around him last year in the regular season as they're having there now. I mean, it's, you know, they had a bad start last year. They brought in seven new players. It's a new system. They just went to the Stanley Cup Finals again. This was last year. This is the same story this year. Get rid of Skinner. He's going to be traded, blah, blah, blah. He took them to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years in a row. And now they do outscore their problems. I do understand that. It would be nice if they had a all-world goalie, they would be unbeatable. I would agree with that. But this guy, you got to have a little faith in a guy who took you to the finals 2 years in a row, especially when a lot has changed in front of him to start the season.
And I think the thing that makes it even more weird or unique, however you want to look at it, he's from Edmonton. He's a hometown kid.
So is Jari, the trade piece they're saying is going to maybe go out there as well.
I mean, he's from there, and they want to go over to his house, pack his stuff, and move him right out of town, for crying out loud, the poor guy.
Yeah.
And when we were there, we saw him. I mean, he comes out, and he faces the media. He even did it on a game day, which some guys don't. And he came out, and he took all the bullets, and he handled them very professionally. I mean, he seems like a good guy, but yes, as you said earlier, it's a results-oriented business.
Well, that's a lot to deal with daily. You know, you go to the grocery store, the movie theater. I mean, everyone's got a tip for you.
Yeah.
And you can feel people looking at you. I don't care where you are. When you're a public figure, you know when people are looking at you. And then you're probably assuming what they're thinking. So that's a tough spot. But they're playing better in front of him. They did it last year. They started playing defensive hockey in front of him, giving up less grade A chances and odd man rushes. Yeah, there's times when, you know, he probably could have made saves, but I don't think that's the real story of that team. I think there's just a lot of holes that needed to be filled, starting with Hyman coming back, one of their leaders. And so it's not all goaltending, but it's a big piece of how we talk about timely saves. And sometimes it's the first 10 minutes of the game. And we've seen it a number of times this year when Jet or Elvis will be in there and make saves early in the game. And that allows the Blue Jackets to come out back in front of them and reward them. And that's got to be a good feeling for the locker room.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. We'll be back with more of the Inside Edge. You are listening to 97.1 The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
A gun suicide attempt. All it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? It's...
Man once shaved Timmy's leg live on the air.
Tune in weekdays at 3 to see what else they'll shave.
Wait, what else they'll shave? Who the hell wants to listen to that?
Common Man and Timmy. Smooth as silk.
Okay, The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley, breaking down the National Hockey League right now. Jody, we've already talked a little bit about different teams, but let's get specific here in these next couple of segments. Let's start out west. You just did a game yesterday, as you were talking about, between Colorado and Nashville. When you look at those two teams, you've got one of them that is the best in the league. You've got the other one that basically is ready to be a seller. Although, ever since that was talked about with Nashville, their game has come along a little bit. I know they're still at the bottom here, but it's coming along a little bit.
Yeah, no, it has. They're in the last 8 games, they've improved tremendously. And I talked to Jared Bednar, coach of the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. And he said, we played them 8 games ago, and this is a different looking team. They defend well. You know, they're getting chances. They're shooting pucks. So they're getting pucks towards the net. They've got some buy-in, and UT Saros is now back to his form. So again, we talked earlier about goaltending. It is the A factor in all these game plans coaches have. Colorado is good though. I mean, it's them and Dallas, and it seems like everybody else out west, and that central division. It's, throw Minnesota in there. You know, got some teams that have kind of settled down a little bit. Utah had a pretty good start. They're hitting the wall a little bit. St. Louis is trying to stay in it. Winnipeg, surprised at them, but they've got a few key injuries. Calgary's even got on a winning streak. So out west, I'll say what I just said. Colorado, Dallas, and then everybody else. I mean, everyone else seems to be just fighting for those next spots out there.
I think you may have mentioned this on a show last week, and it was just kind of a thought in passing, but I want you to expand on it a little bit here. With the Colorado Avalanche, we always talk about Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. Gabriel Landeskog was gone from that team as its captain for so long with injury. He fights his way through it for years and gets back into the mix with that group. And I think what you talked about briefly before is the different personalities between Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, and how having Landeskog back in there with a little bit more of a relaxed approach to it. You'd probably say anybody's more relaxed than Nathan MacKinnon with the intensity that he has when he goes to work every day. But how has that helped to balance out that room?
Well, I think the dynamic of the locker room is the biggest factor in any team. You can't have one guy who's always holding the standard and always saying something that's, you know, trying to stay on top of everything. You have to have a balance where, you know, once in a while, he can be told or let someone else take care of it or be told, like, just back off a little bit, right? And I think Landeskog is that guy. I think he's the guy that really is the counterbalance for Nathan MacKinnon's intensity and kind of angriness with how he plays. You know what I mean? There's a lightness that Landeskog can bring in a different way that can maybe be great for Nathan and also the team. And then there's Brent Burns. You throw him in there, and that's a different element. Oldest player in the National Hockey League, who is probably acts like the youngest player in the National Hockey League. And it's refreshing, and it's fun, and it's an attitude of professionalism, but details of also youthful enthusiasm. So those two guys, to me, have really helped Landeskog and Brent Burns in kind of a refreshing way to the locker room and helping McCarr and McKinnon, two superstars in the National Hockey League. This is a team that was not happy at all last year. They changed their goaltending and on the fly. They've got two really good goalies now with Wedgewood and Blackwood, who's probably going to be the number one in Blackwood. And then, you know, the players want more. So it seems like talking to Bednar, it sounds like camp was incredible. The way the players just brought that level up right away, and it's boded well here for the first part of this season.
Going into last night's game for the Blue Jackets, the other reason they knew that the Carolina Hurricanes were going to be ready to go, well, they were playing at home. They're always ready to go at home. They were celebrating 20 years of a Stanley Cup championship and had a lot of former players in town for that. So there were already some things. But they had also lost to the San Jose Sharks in the previous outing 4-1. And the Sharks continue to impress. I know the Blackhawks are too, but when you talk about the Blackhawks, you mainly focus on Connor Bedard. And even though with the Sharks, you mainly focus on Macklin Celebrini, there are other guys there that have come in the last couple of years. There is already a young core, isn't there?
It's amazing. And, you know, for the San Jose Sharks, they were spoiled with Marlo Thornton, Kowalski. And now they've got Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, Eklund. You know, they picked up the goalie from Nashville. It's at Askarov. They're good. They're exciting. They have no expectations. They're just playing hockey and having fun. It's not just one player in the National Hockey League. Like, Bedard's got some great pieces around him. Big young defenseman. They've got Nazar, who's a quick player down the middle of the ice. It's they're bringing that skill and enthusiasm and up-tempo beat to their team. So, yeah, those two teams in the West have surprised a lot of teams early in this one.
I think what San Jose is doing is more so because of what they're doing off the ice. They are involved in social media and they're showing their personality, and it seems like it's letting people get to know them a little bit. And so not only are they young and exciting and they're having fun with no expectations, but they're kind of very relatable.
It's making them likable too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, being likable is nice. And you see the way Smith and Celebrini get along and interact and joke around and really just have fun. And I guess that Celebrini, I mean, his dad was the head of sports science for the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, that whole upbringing, it's just, I guess it's amazing to watch him get, you know, just how he prepares, how he works, what he understands. It's a nice advantage for a young player in the National Hockey League who just played his 100th game. I think it was this week just passed. And like, you look at the numbers in 100 games and who has put up the numbers he's put up in the first 100 games in the National Hockey League. He's doing some special things up there in San Jose.
Yeah, he is. And we're going to see them here at some point. It's coming up in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be interesting to see them up close and personally. Coming up next, we're going to dive back into that Eastern Conference that is jammed up from top to bottom and talk a little bit more about that. But I want to remind you that on Saturday night, come out and help us celebrate 25 years of Blue Jackets hockey. It's our next 25th anniversary game, and it's presented by Nationwide. There will be special tributes. Former Blue Jackets are going to be in the building and on the ice before the game on Saturday night against the Vegas Golden Knights. If you're there, you're going to get an Upper Deck collectible card set that features current and former Blue Jackets players, and the puck will drop at 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. Get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com. We'll wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, right after this on 97.1 The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
First football on the Fan 2. Catch the Falcons and Bucks live from Tampa. Fan coverage starts Thursday night at 8 on 1460 AM and the Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, the Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. The Blue Jackets are going to be back on the ice tomorrow night. They will take on the Ottawa Senators. First look at the Ottawa Senators this year for the Blue Jackets. And then the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be here on Saturday. Makes for another tough week. Every week is a tough week in the National Hockey League because of the parity. Jody, Ottawa comes into this game. They are only above Buffalo in the standings with 30 points, but that only puts them 2 points behind the Blue Jackets the way everything is stacked up in the East. What do you think about this Ottawa team?
I like them. There's a lot about this team I like. They play a really hard brand of hockey. They have skill now that's getting a little bit older. Jake Sanderson, Thomas Chabot, who's hurt. They've got some great leaders in Brady Tkachuk, and they really were playing much better before he was back. And sometimes, you know, when someone gets back, you change the way you play because you think they're going to save you and then take over. But they need to find that kind of snarl in their game. Pinto's out again for them. And that's, you know, that's a kind of an important piece. But I like a lot about the way they play. I mean, their attitude with the puck, their attitude away from the puck, how they defend, how they play fast, and how much skill they have. It's a nice combination.
And Stutzel's another young guy. I think he's been struggling a little bit as of late. They've been trying to tinker with it a bit and try to get him going again. And as you said, there's, I don't know if you want to say it's an embarrassment of riches, but another team that made the most of finishing subpar in a number of seasons and drafting accordingly.
Yeah, no, they've really done a nice job with picking up the pieces they have. And it's taken time for them to grow, but they're growing into big, huge pieces for this team. You know, when you look at some of the guys that they have, you mentioned Stutzla, Batherson, Tkachuk, Ridly Gregg is an important player for them. Claude Giroux re-signs with his, you know, he's from that area. David Perron and Lars Eller are two veteran guys who are fitting in there well. So they, and then their back end, I think is really, really good. They picked up Nick Jensen there a couple of years ago to play with Chabot. Chabot's out. They're moving pieces around, but, you know, I like their team a lot. I think they're a team that's, going to be hard to play against for the Blue Jackets.
You were talking about the Maple Leafs back in the first segment of the show a couple of weeks ago when we played against Toronto, played them two times pretty, quickly, in a quick span, and everybody was ready to run everybody out of town again because, people were ready to jump off a bridge about the lack of wins that they were getting at that point in time. But as you said, they put it back together. Look, that there is an adjustment. Mitch Marner leaves. It's 100 points out of your lineup. You don't replace that overnight. You have guys injured, including your goaltenders. But Craig Berube knows how to put together a team and how to make adjustments and how to get them playing the style that's going to help them win again. And it seems like that's where they are.
Now, the key there is goaltending and injuries. And the lines weren't together at all until they got healthy, and they're still not healthy. But, you know, Nick Waugh is in there. You got Dakota Joshua's in there. Scott Laughton's back. Important players for what they're trying to do in key situations. So it's a big part and frustrating when you bring in new players. And then the biggest adjustment, right, is Mitch Marner gone. I mean, it takes 30 games to figure that out, right? How Matthews is going to play, but they play a really good team game now. Defensively, they play really good. Strong on pucks. They're in good positions. And they're the other night they won it with a total team effort from the goaltending out, which, talk about three goalies, it was Hildeby, who's been hanging around. And he's 6'7", I think. And he just went in there and locked it down for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's really weird to look at the wild card teams today and see Pittsburgh and Philadelphia in those two spots.
Right.
Now Pittsburgh is they're losing their minds because, you know, they started off way better than anybody thought they were going to. Now they can't win in a shootout. They've lost.
Oh, they're injured. Oh,
yeah. They've lost every shootout, so they're going crazy about that. They give up a goal last night, what, right at the very end, and then losing the shootout.
Yeah.
So, but to see Pittsburgh and Philadelphia there, two teams that I don't think a lot of people would have picked to be there at any point.
I'm so surprised. I was so surprised at Pittsburgh, like everybody else. Now I'm really shocked at the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, they just play their game. They don't have any superstars, so to speak. You know, they picked up Zegras, who's a star. I mean, he was on the cover of a video game, and he's very good, has a very good skill set, but they're getting goaltending, and the theme goes on and on. Goaltending and good team play right now.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the top of this Metropolitan Division, no surprise that Washington, I know they had gone through a slide, but they are, like, to me, Carolina and Washington are your two locks there because Carolina's done it year after year. Washington, they were able to rebuild on the fly last year, and they had that year last year. So they don't have to, I don't think they have much to question. They're just like everybody else waiting to get a full lineup back.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at Washington, I don't think anything's a lock bet. I would not lock anyone in yet. You know what I mean? I think it's still, I know Carolina is what we always think they are, but I still think it's wide open in the East. I think when you see teams like Philly and Pittsburgh in a wild card, over 30 games in, this is going to be wide open.
And let's not forget Boston when we're talking about surprises in the East.
Yeah.
I mean, coming into tonight, they are in second place in the Atlantic Division. Who do they have? Pastrnak and, you know what I mean? Or you look at what they've lost. What they've lost, and boy, they've found a way to gain.
Swayman, McAvoy. You know, they've got Geeky now out of what a nice surprise he is for that team as a pure goal scorer. You know what? And they were struggling early. They looked like they weren't going to win a game, but they found it and they're bought into their team concept. And now, you know, they only know one way to play. So when you have a superstar like Pastrnak and you can support him, like Geeky comes in like that, you got to have a nice surprise or you have to have guys trending towards those career years in order to have this, you know, kind of really feel good team and feel good about their games.
And with all of that said, they're tied with Tampa. Detroit's 1 point behind them. You have a bad weekend, and we're not talking about you next week because you're going to drop out. So, all right, Jody, thank you very much. I know you've been all over the place, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night when the Blue Jackets take on the Senators.
Always great talking to you, Bob. Thanks, man. We'll see you all.
That is Jody Shelley, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Inside Edge. It has been presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligan. Join us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena for the Blue Jackets and the Ottawa Senators. But The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, comes to a close right now here on 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I was in football.